on, let's start with this. Put on the screen for me Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, the ESV version. So I'm a church participating pastor. So you're going to be preaching with me tonight. Amen. You'll be doing the scripture reading and I'll be doing the preaching. So 1, 2, 3. Stop. Wow. Now, bear in mind you're reading out of the Word of God. Hello. Hold up your Bibles for me. Here we go again. Okay, there's more Bibles going up than last week Sunday evening. This is bringing so much joy to my heart to see the... We're getting there. One Bible at a time. It's fine. Mensies, if you can move like say, you cannot go to the battlefields without a weapon. Why not? Why not? What will happen if you go to a battlefield without a weapon? You will die. Okay, so please. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility. Say humility. Count others. Say humility. Hey, I want this thing to sink in. Count others more significant than yourself. So how many of us can agree that the Word of God is truth? Can I die handjie sien opgaan? How many of us agree that the Word of God is truth? So if this is truth, then many of us have our priorities wrong. And there's a serious realignment that needs to take place in the lives of many born again believers. Hello. Count others more significant than yourselves. Can you say that this is your heart's attitude? Honestly. As you're sitting here right now, you're the only one that can answer this question. Do you count others more significant than yourself? But wait, there's more. Carry on for me to verse 4. 1, 2, 3. Verse 5. Carry on. Carry on. Carry on. Carry on. Carry on. Stop. See, you guys are reading it so casually. It says, therefore, God hath highly exalted Jesus Christ. What was the reason for Jesus to be highly exalted? Hello, church. I hope that you are with me on this night. What was the purpose and the very thing that I've caused God to say, I'm going to exalt my son in this moment? It is the moment that he has fully stepped into the position of saying that I will become a servant, that I am not here to serve. I listen, that I'm not here to be served, but that I'm here to serve others. And he's saying in the Bible right here in this passage of scripture that this mind that was in Christ should be in us also. And now you have to ask the question, of all of the signs, the miracles and the wonders Jesus performed during his earthly ministry, raising the dead, walking on water, healing the lame, causing the lame to stand up and walk, opening the blind eyes, opening the deaf ears, and everything that he did, casting out of demons, you must ask yourself this question: what could cause him to walk in such power? It is undeniable. It was birthed out of a heart for serving others. It says this whole thing: be less than someone else. Let your interest not take priority, but the interest of others takes priority. Let this mind that was in Christ now also be in your mind. This whole passage of scripture. Therefore, God have highly exalted him and given him a name which was above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things under the earth and things in the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. There's a place that you can reach and that you can gain access to that will cause exaltation to take place. I hope someone is hearing me this night. Let this not be your motive for seeking God though, so that you can be exalted. It was not the heart of Jesus to be exalted. No, his heart was just to serve. He had compassion. He had grace. He had incomparable love that encompassed him from round about, from every side, that was burning in his heart like a holy fire. He had a passion for people. He had a passion to see them delivered. He had a passion to see people restored. He had a passion to see people have spiritual freedom. He had a passion for restoration. That was his heart. That was his entire being. That was his character, and therefore we should not be anything less than our Lord and his Son. I don't know if someone is hearing me this night. May you come to a place where you can learn what it means to serve others, to put yourself to one side where you no longer even care about your own needs, your own desires, but it's about the world, a dying and broken world, and to reach out and to see them saved, to see them saved, to see them saved, to see them saved. Hello. You will see many other things coming out of that place. It's all fine when you first come onto salvation and you start off as a baby in the spirit. It's fine. You're going to be selfish. It's going to be about your needs. I must not be looked after. I must not be fed. And it's when I want to be fed, and it's how I want it done. It's fine. But you grow up. Will you learn that this thing is no longer about me? Your gifts, your talents, your call, and your purpose is not for you anyway. It is for someone else, and it is for God. I'm going to say that again. Your talents, your gifts, you know, the most asked question in the body of Christ is this. One of the most asked questions. I would say that there's a category of questions that's most asked. This question definitely makes the cut. And you'll find it most probably on top of the list. Is what is God's will for my life? And I want to say that you're focusing on the wrong thing. Because your gifts and your talents and your call and your purpose is not for you anyway. It is for someone else. It is to bless someone else. It is to bring freedom to someone else. It is to glorify God. It is not for you anyway. And my question will be, why do you want to know? What is the motive? So now I reveal to you your call and purpose. What will you do with that knowledge? Will be determined by what's happening in the hearts. The motive of the heart will determine the effectiveness of the call and the purpose. You see, and if that call and if the motive of your heart does not have the compassion of Christ Jesus himself, I can guarantee that the call and the purpose, even though manifesting, will be diluted and will not glorify God. So let's get the foundation in place. What Prophetess preached this morning for me is foundational. And I believe that it's time for the body of Christ to get back to the foundational things. Because if the foundation is not set, the structure will collapse. If the foundation is not there, no matter what and how strong you build on top of it, it will fall apart. There must be a strong foundation. What I'm giving you in this night, or what started even in this morning, was the foundation. Hello? Say serving. I want this thing to really, really be said in your hearts. Amen? Listen. I'm going to make a statement, and this is worth taking note of. And I've explained to you, I've done a study on what it means to take notes. And I gained a powerful revelation on it. You know what it means to take notes? It means to take notes. I was astounded. My mind was blown. Like, wow, okay. Actually means to take a note. Okay, wow, okay. I get it now. So take note of this statement when we're speaking about serving. True serving means to solve a problem. Ish. True serving means to solve a problem. When Jesus stepped into his earthly ministry, the very first thing that he did was to solve a problem. He came on to Peter, who caught or tried to catch fish all night. There was nothing. They worked all night, yet they caught nothing. But here, eternity invades time. As the living word stepped onto the sea, and the scenario was about to be shifted into a different direction, as the living word said, listen, go out again, but this time go to a different depth. And cast your net not on that side, but on this side. And here comes Peter and he says, Lord, this is my profession. I know this job very well. I am the CEO of this company. And I've done this thing all night. There was nothing. I know this thing. And I know that if I go now, the wrong time of the day, the wrong depth, and I cast on the wrong side, there is no way that this thing will happen. Nevertheless, not at my word, but because you have said so, I will do it as according to your commandments. And he went out to a depth where you cannot go and catch fish. And he cast the net on the wrong side of the boat. That would be seen as something wrong in the world's eyes. And they caught so much fish that the boat started to sink. That he had to call his business partners. I don't know if someone is hearing me spiritually. So he came and solved a problem. And immediately everyone was affected by it. And Peter, without even knowing it, was drawing his business partner now into the same thing. So you better come and help here. Because this is not enough for me alone to carry. I need you to come and help me carry this. True servanthood is to solve a problem. It is to solve a problem. Okay, great. So I want to couple servanthood with calling and purpose tonight. And so let me answer your question sitting here. What is God's will for my life? Because it is very, very simple. I just said that serving is solving a problem. So now we've got something down, right? Now we need to ask another question. Okay, what problem can I solve? Very good question. Glad you're asking. So let me ask this. This day and age that we live in, what do you think is a problem? Okay. Let's take this slow tonight. Put on the screen for me Luke chapter 4 verse 18, King James. Because the problem Jesus came to solve, the biggest problem he came to solve, is still the problem today. Okay? Are you guys with me? The Spirit of the Lord, this is Jesus Christ speaking, so by the way, is upon me. Say, the Spirit of God is upon me. Some people don't believe it. You can say, the Spirit of God is upon me. Okay. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, when we say gospel to the poor, poor here does not mean financially poor. It means poor in hearts, poor in thinking, poor in your circumstances, yes, and poor financially. Are you guys with me? To go preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me. Say, he hath sent me. To do what? I'm giving you God's will for your life right now. If you're asking the question, what is God's will for my life? I'm giving it to you here right now. You don't even ever have to think about it again. This is God's will for your life. This is to go and do this. This is the foundation of serving. To go heal the brokenhearted. Do we not live in a day and age? Man, I can tell you, being involved in prison ministry, that we live in a day and age where people are broken. In fact, I want to go as far as to say beyond the point of repair. Destroyed. People are destroyed. I don't know. You know, many times I'll sit in a restaurant, I'll watch people. And I'll start to cry. Because you can see, you get sensitive to this thing. You can look at someone, they will sit there and smile, but it's pretension. Inside, the heart does never lie. The heart does not lie. And you can see the pain. And you can see someone sitting there and they're like, if someone can only see my pain. If there's only but someone that can just reach out and just speak to me, because I don't know how to reach out. If someone can just see the pain that I carry every day. Hello. And my heart will break and I will say, oh, I got the answer. I have the answer. I have the answer. I carry the answer. The answer for me is the blessing is in me, is upon me, is around me. I have become the answer, an expression of Christ Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. And in that moment, how can you just sit and do nothing? I'm speaking about true serving. True serving. Are you guys with me? Serving is not something you do. It is someone you become. It is someone you become. To heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. This is not natural sight being restored. It is spiritual sight being restored so that someone can see again. I have explained this so many a times that when I had my first encounter with God then in Prophet's house, when I went down to the ground because of the glory of God that came down upon me. When I stood up, it is as if I were blind my entire life, but I could suddenly see. I'm speaking about a man who walked straight out of the world into prophet's house and saved as they came. Lost as they came, I stepped into that house, one encounter. Moments later, when I got up from the ground, spiritual things made sense to me. I could suddenly understand the word. I could suddenly understand every word being preached that night. It was opened up as my spirit man was reborn. Hope was restored. Bondages and curses was broken. Why? Because of one man who took up the call and purpose of God upon his life and to say, my God, here I am. Use me. I'm here to serve your people. Come hell or high water, I will not back off from this commission and this mandate that you have placed upon my life. I am not in this thing for myself, but I'm here to serve your people, because I'm speaking about a man who understands the principle that out of his serving, God will be glorified and someone might just have an encounter. True servanthood. Say serving. I change your minds tonight about serving. Are you guys with me? Put on the screen for me Romans chapter 12 verse 1. King James. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Say a living sacrifice. Wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Say reasonable service. Powerful word there. And then we go on to verse 20. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now you'll notice that verse 2 starts with, hello? And. Which means that it's a continuation. It's not difficult, Menzies. It's a continuation of the first verse, which means that the author is about to explain and expound in verse 2 what will be the result if I apply the former. If I present my body then a living sacrifice, what will then be the result? There will be a transformation that will take place of the renewing of my mind. And even in through and that, I will find what is God's good, perfect will for my life. Are you guys with me? But now it says, because this is your reasonable service. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Very interesting. That word reasonable comes from the word reason. Now we're speaking about intellect. But now we're speaking about someone's specific intellect. We're speaking now about the mind. But we're speaking about a specific mind. We're speaking about the mind of Christ here. Because that word reasonable comes from the Greek word logikos. From the root word logos. Does that sound familiar? In John chapter 1 verse 1, King James, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Greek for the word Word there is Logos. Logos is a name of Jesus Christ. Now we're speaking about the living Word here. Are you guys with me? But get this, Logos means this. It means expressed speech or expressed idea. Hello? Say expressed idea. Say again, say expressed idea. Meaning you must manifest as God's sons and daughters. You must manifest God's expressed idea. Hello? I must manifest as His expressed idea to a dying and broken world. Do you understand this fact and this truth? That each and every one of you here right now, look at your neighbor. Just touch your neighbor. Do you know what you're touching? You're touching the express idea of God. Hello. Some people look confused. God imagined you, which means with that imagination, He planned your whole life out. And I said, this is how I'm going to make this individual, and he will or she will do this and that, and the whole plan laid out. And then He formed you and placed you on this earth, which means that here right now, you are an expression of the imagination of God. His expressed idea. Are you guys with me? Now, I must give an expression of what He has placed in me. I don't know if this is making sense. So what is that expressed idea? How did Jesus do it? How did the Son of God manifest as God's expressed idea? For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to go and preach the gospel. He's expressing God's idea. To go heal the brokenhearted, expressing that idea. Preach deliverance of the captives, expressing His idea. Recovering of sight to the blind, expressing His idea. To set at liberty them that are bruised, meaning broken, destroyed, and downcast. To cause them to be lifted up. And to go preach the acceptable. You know, if you take all of that, it can be summed up in one phrase. Jesus Christ came to this earth to deliver, to heal, and to bring spiritual freedom. One word, deliverance. He came to this earth to bring deliverance. How? Through serving. Say, through serving. Imagine how powerful is serving. That the very mandate of the anointing upon the life of Jesus Christ would not have worked if He would not have taken that position as a servant. Hello. Are you guys here? Hello. He came to serve. He came to serve. And through His serving, He brought healing. Through His serving, He brought deliverance. Through His serving, He brought restoration. Through His serving, He brought freedom. Are you guys with me? The mandate of the anointing upon the life of Jesus was to bring deliverance. Mark my words, that same mandate of the anointing that is upon your life is exactly the same as the mandate when it was upon the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is God's will for your life. Is to go and preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them who are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the word. If you wonder what is God's will, your call and your purpose, that is it. Get out of this thing I'm calling this. I must not be careful when I go there. I'm this apostle. Good for you. That's cute. I'm saying this with my tongue in my cheek, okay? I will never downplay a title of a fivefold office. Please mark my words. It's not a title, it is a job description. It is an office. It's a name. I will never downplay it. There's no reason for you to carry the title of an apostle, a prophet, pastor, teacher, or evangelist, but you lack the love of the Father. It will add up to nothing. In fact, it will cause harm. And that's why I said what I said. And in the way that I said it. Because you get that stuff out there. Hello? Are you guys with me? We place high value to the fivefold office. And we do not take it lightly. Are you guys with me? I'm not downplaying it. Can I have an amen? Jesus Christ himself gave himself as a living sacrifice. Which means that we ought to do exactly the same thing. Now the word sacrifice, say sacrifice, comes from the Greek word thusia, say thusia. And it means this, it means to give something up or to let something go. And when this is done right, it carries an immense amount of power that will automatically align you with the will of God for your life. I don't know if you just heard me. Sacrifice means to give something up, to let something go. And when you do this thing right, it will align you with all the power, with all the glory, with all the light, with all the truth, with all the revelation, with all the hidden secrets and wisdoms locked up in God, even more than that, with His perfect will for your life. Are you guys with me? Okay, now I'm going to get into the message for the night, actually. I want to give you four quick keys. This is not normally how I preach, but I want to give you four keys tonight regarding sacrifice that is important to understand as believers. Amen. Now let me start off with a question. If God comes to you and asks you to give up your Isaac, to kill your Isaac, will you be able to do it? Let's just be real with yourself for a moment. If God comes to you and say, this is your son, you've been waiting for this son, it is the promise, and he says, go kill this promise. Will you be able to let it go? Will you be able to give it up? Only you can answer that question. Are you guys with me? You see, letting go is an art that very few believers possess. And it comes in different levels. Are you guys with me? Say it comes in different levels. Say again, say it comes in different levels. See, you can choose to submit to the good will of God. You can choose to submit to the acceptable will of God, or you can choose to submit to the perfect will of God. These are three dimensions of surrender. It is three different dimensions of surrender. For you to walk, and how many of you can say that I want to move in the perfect will of God for my life? That will require total and utter and complete surrender. Completely letting go of yourself to take up the heart of Christ and to manifest that to a dying and broken world. You see, even in just saying that, many people don't even understand the fullness of that. Don't have time to get into it. Are you guys with me? Hello. Are you guys with me? So key number one. We're speaking about now sacrifice. And I want to speak about the measurement of spiritual strength. The measurement of spiritual strength. How many of you can say that I want to be spiritually strong? Come on, as Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. Be steadfast and immovable. Where you reach a level where you're not so easily tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by every situation, by every circumstance that you are faced with, but you stand and remain steadfast and immovable, that you remain consistent no matter what it is that you are facing, no matter what it is that you are going through, you remain consistent, steadfast and immovable. Spiritual strength. How many of you can say that I want to be spiritually strong? Come on now. Hello. Now listen to this. It's not what you think it is. Romans chapter 15 verse 1, King James says this, Paul speaking, saying, we then that are strong, say I am strong. Just show your muscles to your neighbor quickly there. I must say, a few of the things that I've just seen now, that's like, that was cute. Yes. I mustn't forget that I'm online. I'm live. Oops. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Listen, there are two parts to this verse that I quickly want to break out. And the first one shows you what is spiritual strength. And the second one will show you, the second part of the verse, how to obtain it. And even how to increase in spiritual strength. Are you guys with me? So let's look at the first part. Spiritual strength is not how much you can do. It is rather a question of how much weakness of others you can carry. I'm speaking about spiritual strength here. Come on now, it is very satisfying to be strong in your own gifts and in your own talents. This does not require much spiritual strength. But when I have to carry the burdens of someone else, it becomes a whole other ball game. How many of you have ever said this or felt like this? You see, Moses was a man with high spiritual strength. He was spiritually extremely strong. He carried the burdens and the weaknesses of an entire nation. Now please bear in mind, I'm speaking about millions of people.
Exaggerate. Millions. And again, I state, many cannot even carry the burden of someone else. One individual. He carried the load and the burdens of an entire nation. Jesus Christ was the most spiritually strong individual who've ever walked the face of this earth. Why? He carried the burdens and the weaknesses of every single person that was ever born, that is born right now and on this earth right now, and that will ever be born. He took it upon himself. Are you guys with me? He is the most spiritually strong person. But now the Bible says this. Can I say that again? He is the most spiritually strong person. But now the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 verse 26 and 27, King James, even the mystery which have been hid from generations and from ages, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is... I think only a few people got it. Jesus Christ was the most spiritual, strong individual ever walked the face of this earth. And according to this verse, you are filled with that. Hello. Which means that you indeed have the ability. You indeed have the capacity to carry the weaknesses and the burdens of nations. It's all a question of how you, do you know who you are? Where you dwell? Perception. Hello. I don't know. I'm in a season where I'm just like, what I read, I want to see. And I'm on this journey with this new man. Pastor Kevin, really, I'm like,
When I read last week, Sunday evening, about Zechariah, the prophet is having this vision and he's seeing Joshua the high priest. And he's saying that I will cause you. I mean, he's standing where he sees the accuser, Satan, standing on his side. Jesus standing opposite him. So where is he standing? Where is he standing? Hello? Hello? He's standing in heavenly places. He's in the throne. Are you guys with me? And then the Bible says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. And I'm thinking to myself, dear God, so here right now, I'm standing in the company of innumerable angels. And suddenly it makes sense how Elisha could say, open his eyes that he may see. And when the servant saw, he saw chariots and horses of fire circling Elisha, not him. So I'm standing here right now, according to my perception, in the company of innumerable angels. That's not your reality yet. But I can guarantee it's become my reality. And I would test this thing. See, I'm someone that's very practical, so I'll go and I'll test stuff. So now we sit in gym. And I've signed up at Virgin Active for one reason. Because they've got the spa division. And so me and Donovan, we're sitting in the sauna. And there are two other individuals sitting there. And I'm going to test this thing now. There's a spiritual atmosphere around us. I believe it. I can see it. I can feel it. I know. There's a holy atmosphere filled with His fullness surrounding me. I'm like, I'm going to test this thing now. I'm going to sit. This thing is going to manifest now. And we start speaking spiritually. We start speaking about deliverance, demons casted out. And the people behind us go like, and I'm like, this, let me tell you, this is more real than what you think. You are standing in the company of, in meaning it cannot be counts. Imagine if you could suddenly see spiritually, meaning that there would be a sea of angels so far that you cannot even see so far. It's uncountable, innumerable. How will that change your life if you know that that's real? Will it change? Will it change anything in your life, in your everyday life, in your decision making, the risks that I will take, the decisions that I need to make, conversations? How will that change you if that becomes a reality? Because I'm tired of standing here and speaking these things, but I want God's people to live this. Let this become a reality. And I really pray that your eyes will become open, that you will experience the realities. And then prophetess messaged me and said, I'm going to preach on this if you can maybe finish off the afternoon. It's not in my spirit. But I thought, hang on. You know, what is in my spirit is this new creation realities in this new man. And God asked, but listen to what she said. All of that will mean nothing if serving is not in place. Why, and God asked me, why do you want to have these realities of new creation realities and of this new man manifest? What is the motive and purpose? And I'm like, you know, you can quickly get caught up in a thing where it's just nice to have. And you lose focus of what is important. I'm not saying that I have, but I had this conversation with God in kind of preparing for this thing tonight. Are you guys with me? And I said, my God, because the more that this thing becomes a reality to me, the more I can manifest your power to a dry. And then he said, but what is that? I'm like, serving. And again, it's like everything is about serving. I'm like, jeez. You can quickly miss what is important. Are you guys with me? Hello. You see, we sadly live in a day and age where the mentality is just look out for myself. And I'll do whatever I need to do to get to the top. I will step on whoever I need to step on. I'll destroy whoever I need to destroy, especially in the corporate environment. As long as that I can get to the top. And that is the mentality and the heart's attitude that we live with in this day and age. Are you guys with me? Words like honor and respect is something that is far forgotten in this day and age. And is something that is frowned upon. Go try it. Go to your workplace and say, you know what? I honor the spiritual authority over my house. They'll look at you like, what the heck is wrong with you? Yeah, they'll scream cold. Go try it. Because honor is missing. And that's where I honor the black culture, because they understand honor. They understand honor. Are you guys with me? And then we ask, why are they so spiritual? Well, let me rather say spiritually in tune. It's because they know how to honor. Hello? I am black, so I can say it. And I'm not, don't make this a race. It's not speaking about, you see, I can feel how tense the atmosphere quickly. Check your hearts. That's in your hearts. One of the greatest signs of Christianity is that we care for the weak. It is something the world just simply does not understand. Why do you care for the weak? Are you guys with me? For the sick, for the lost, the dying and the broken. These are the people that the world would write off as insignificant. Say insignificant. You are not insignificant. You see, never forget that God qualifies the unqualified. Are you guys with me? God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Hello. Hello. I'm speaking to you. If you're sitting here right and saying, but yes, I can't. How can I, Pastor Martin? Jy praat, jy preach, jy kan, dis maklik vir jou. No, you think it is easy for me. This is not me. This that you see here, I promise you, this is not me, who I am in the natural. Are you guys with me? I can't really speak to people. But God. So if you're sitting here feeling, but how can I go and do it? How can I demonstrate? Just let that lie go. Let it go. Let it go. And you rise up in the power of the Almighty God. This will happen through understanding of His truth. You rise up in the power of His might through understanding of His word. Are you guys with me? Hello? Okay, key number two. Remember the verse that I said it's got two parts? Okay, so spiritual strength is measured by how much of the weaknesses and burdens of others I can carry. Amen. So Romans chapter 15, 1, King James. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Now we're going to get into the second part. And not to please ourselves. Key number two is denying ourselves. Say, denying myself. This is something easier said than done. This is a sacrifice. Denying myself is a sacrifice that will loosen and cause the anointing and everything that is locked up on the inside of you to start flowing out of you. Are you guys with me? Hey, listen, the I want, I wish, I feel, I think, if you ask my opinion, this is what that thing must die. And it must be changed to what does God say, what does God think, what is God saying, and to manifest only that. If you ask my opinion, I think, really, if what you think cannot be backed up by Scripture, I don't want to hear it. If your opinion is not measured upon the Scriptures, I want nothing to do with it. Are you guys with me? I will always only tell you what he says. As long as you focus on yourself, you cannot see what God has got in store for you. Hello? As long as I focus on myself, I'll never see what God has got for me. Never. Because I'm always here. I'm living here. It's not for you. It's for others. Exactly. Luke chapter 9, 23, New King James. Then he said to them all, Jesus Christ speaking, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. The very first thing. Jesus says, if you want to be known as my follower and someone who comes after me, the very first thing on the list is deny yourself. And then secondly, take up your cross daily and then to follow me. Very important to understand that denying yourself is not a once-off thing that you do. It is not a position that you reach. It is a thing that you will have to do every single day, where you die to yourself. Are you guys with me? God have now again called me into a season of prayer, where I'm getting up every morning 3 a.m. and I'm praying for 3 hours straight. I'm not worshiping. I'm not. It's not praying. I close my door and I start for 3 hours. That is a sacrifice. That is me dying to myself to step into the season that is coming up next. Are you guys with me? I'm just using an example. Hello. What is the cross? It is where your will and God's will crosses. Which one will you take up? That is the question. You must die to yourself if you want to take up the will of God. That I can guarantee. This is a basic spiritual principle. It's milk. It is common sense. Are you guys with me? The will of God can only rise up in you. And we've now given you what is God's will for your life. That will can only rise up and go into for manifestation to the extent that you surrender, to the extent that you let go of yourself. Are you guys with me? Romans chapter 8, verse 12 and 13. I'm almost done. New King James says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not of the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You will live how? You will live according to the very will of God. Hello? You will live. How will you live? You will live according to the very will of God. Remember what the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to verse 5, King James. Know you not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like us, just as in the same way, like us, Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in that newness of life. So how will I live? I will live in that newness of life, manifesting the will of God for my life. And what is that? I've given it to you. I don't know if someone is here to go cast out demons, heal the sick, preach the gospel. Hello. Let me skip a part here. Oh, this is good. Put on the screen for me Joel chapter 3, verse 14. New King James. Joel chapter 3, verse 14, 1-4. New King James. One, two, three. Okay, stop. Multitudes in the valley of decision. Okay, great, Pastor Morton. What the heck does that mean? It means that on your spiritual journey, you will find multitudes that are dealing with a lot of stuff. Are you guys with me? where they need to make decisions and they don't know, you know, should I go left, right, forward, backwards? Maybe it's best to go back to my Egypt. And you'll find many on your spiritual journey where they want to give up. They've started with all zeal, passion, and desire, but they've reached a place where things are just going too heavy and they want to give up. Are you guys with me? And it is in those moments where you need to become that servant. Where even you yourself need prayer. Even you yourself now need counseling. I myself don't even know whether I'm going to get through this storm that I am facing. It seems that there's no light at the end of this tunnel that I'm in current. I'm just using an example. Are you guys with me? And even in this, where I meet someone else that it seems that they're giving up, where I put myself now to one side, I mean, I'm even sick. I don't even feel well. I feel downcasted, weary, and burdened, where it feels like the whole world is resting upon my shoulders and that there is no, just no end to this thing that it is that I'm facing and going through. It seems like it's just never going to end. It is just building up and building up and building up. It's crisis upon crisis. It is problem upon problem. And it is havoc upon havoc. And even in that midst, when you find someone else and even their problem at that moment might not even seem significant to you comparing to what it is that you're going through. Yet even in the midst of that, I have the ability, because I have the heart of Christ, to put myself out of my situation and to focus solely and completely on your situation and say, don't worry, I'm going to take that burden from you. I'm going to take that weakness from you. I'm going to take it upon myself. I don't even have the energy. I don't even know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to take it and I'm going to bring it before God and I'm going to fight this thing through for you on my knees until there is breakthrough on your behalf. And you will find that if you can find yourself doing exactly that, that is then that healing and breakthrough will come to you. In this valley of decision, what is a valley? It's the lowest, deepest part of the earth. It's where you face these hard situations and circumstances. And you're asking God, why? Ask Him. But it's in that, that my breakthrough also came. Because I put myself aside, serving, true serving. I'm speaking about really caring. Do you really care about your brothers and your sisters? I'm not speaking about your family, your immediate family. Brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, do you care about God's people? Do you really, can you say that I really care? I really care. Hello. Can I need to end off and there's a way, key number. Okay, I'm not going to finish, but let me get into the story. Let me finish off with this. And I was wondering what the heck I'm going to say. Look at this. Nehemiah chapter 1. I want to show you the heart of a servant. Hello. I hope this means something to you. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. Let's start with verse 3, New King James. This is Nehemiah speaking here, and he's saying, and they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. Listen to verse 4 now. So he's reaching news of this. I just want to explain this thing in context. This is now obviously after captivity, Babylonian captivity. And some people escaped the being taken into exile. And news of these people left behind and the state of Jerusalem reached Nehemiah, saying that the walls are broken down, the place is in ruins, and the people are in great distress. Now, we live in a day and age that I can guarantee you that there's a dying and broken world who's living in great distress. Their walls are broken down and they are in ruins and in need of great help. Are you guys with me? Listen to verse 4. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days and was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Verse 5. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenants and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. For the children of Israel, your servants. Was he praying and fasting for himself? Was he weeping and crying for himself? He was weeping and crying, fasting and praying for the needs of an entire nation. I'm speaking about a man whose heart is burning with passion for the people who are destroyed. And he's saying that I cannot bear the pain of what is happening to them. I hope that something can ignite in your hearts in this night, where you develop a passion and a burning desire to see the lost saved. I'm serious about this thing. There are people that are heading to hell. And there's many who will face eternity in a lake of fire. Or they will face the pavilions of heaven, where they will stand in the grandeur and the glory of the Almighty God, based upon the words that you speak. Do you want that blood on your hands, where you can get on your knees when you pray and you weep? Man, there's nights when I have woken up with tears running down my face because men are going lost. And I would get on my knees and say, my God, help me. Help me that I can do what it is that I need to do. Let no one on my watch not receive salvation. May you give me the ability to speak with excellence. And in the moment that I need to speak, may you give me the right words to say, and even how to say it, that I can do your kingdom justice and be glory to your name, my God. I never want to be known or stand as the one who have brought harm to your kingdom, my Lord. May I always represent your kingdom with excellence, with perfection, and with distinction. You know what he said? Do you love my people? Yes, Lord. Then go feed my sheep. And again he asked me, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I do. Does it sound familiar? Many times God will have with you conversations similar to what is written. Yes, Lord, you know I do. Three times. Your heart will be tested. Are you invested into this thing or not? It's not about you. You've received salvation. You've been saved. You've been delivered. And you've been restored. And you have no right to hold that back from anyone else. No right. You are the only Bible that many will ever read. Don't take moments like this lightly, where you're being equipped and where you're being trained and where you're being taught properly. Don't take it lightly. It is in this that you are being established and anchored upon the rock of ages, on the word of life, so that you can go and flow out. So are you guys with me? Do you love God's people? Because without love, the rest means nothing. Hello. You know what love that is? Agape love. You know what agape love is? sacrificial love. The love that says that I'm willing to give my life for someone else. Hello. Are you guys with me? Where are we now? Let's just see. I must finish off. Verse 6. In the middle. Day and night for the children of Israel, your servants. And confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you, and I have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest parts of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to a place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Are you guys with me? There's something I'm looking for. So the guy fasted and prayed. And he's carrying on and he's speaking. Now listen to this. Now let me finish off. Now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Oh Lord, I pray, please, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servants and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day. I pray and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. He's speaking about the king because he's the cupbearer. For I was the king's cupbearer, there it says. Okay, so now let's go to verse chapter 2. Listen to this. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. In fact, it was unlawful for any man to ever be in the presence of a king and to have a countenance that is downcast, to be sad. Why? It was an offense punishable by death. If you did anything that would make the king feel uncomfortable, it was an offense punishable by death. So he's standing, he's downcast. It's like, I don't care now anymore. This is just too much for me to bear. And the king says, What is this that I see? I see that you are sad. Are you guys with me? And that I've never seen you like this. Listen to this. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid. Why? Because he thought, hey, I'm going to die. But he interceded. He fasted, he prayed, and he had his time with God. Hello, say favor. He was serving a nation. Are you guys with me? Say he was serving a nation. Now this is very interesting when you start to study this passage of scripture. Are you guys with me? He came before the king in the month of Nisan. Hello. Hello. Do you know what that means? This is the same month when Israel were made free from Egypt, walking through the Red Sea. This is the same month in which we celebrate Passover, month of Nisan. Everything was God ordained. You see, the moment he decided, I'm going to take this burden upon myself, and he brought it before God, a divine alignment started to take place in the supernatural, and it was about to be made manifest. It was not by chance that he, in the 20th year, comes before King the King, and in the month of Nisan, and he's standing there in the month of Passover. Hello, can I share with you something else? Nisan is also known as the month of miracles. The word Nes means miracle. Listen, Jesus was crucified in this month. And so he sealed a permanent spiritual month of blessing, of prosperity and miracles over each and every one of us. I don't know if you're hearing me in this night. In a sense, under the new covenant, we are living in a permanent spiritual month of Nisan. Meaning in a permanent month, permanent, continuous month of blessing, of prosperity, and of miracles. Hello. You are planted by the rivers of living water, by the river of life. I need you to understand this. Because you're living in this permanent month of blessing, of prosperity, of breakthrough, of deliverance, of healing, and of restoration. Which means I must become that to someone else. And now you are planted by this river of living water, this river of life. Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. New King James. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in season, whose leaf shall not wither, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now please bear in mind that these leaves of this trees is for healing. It is for healing. Say for healing. I can't go there now. Ezekiel chapter 47, 12 says that the leaves of this tree shall be for healing. Again in Revelation 22, 2, it says that the leaves of this tree shall be for healing. Are you guys with me? And so we are called as sons and daughters of the Most High God to do exactly what? To manifest as signs, as not to manifest signs and wonders, but to manifest as a sign, as a wonder, and as a miracle. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 8 verse 18, and I and the children whom you have given me are for signs and for wonders. You are not called to perform signs and miracles and wonders. You are called to be a sign, to be a wonder, to be a miracle. I don't know if you're hearing me in this night. You must be the miracle in someone else's darkness. That is serving, but it's birthed out of a place of compassion. This man found out the state of his people and of his city. And he says, I'm not going to stand by, not on my watch. I'm going to bring this thing before God in prayer. I myself am in captivity, but I'm going to take this thing upon myself and I'm going to pray it through. I'm going to fight it through until I see that there is breakthrough. And guess what happens? He found favor in the sight of this king. And he says, what do you want to do? He says, I want to go rebuild the walls of my city. How long will you be gone? And he gave him a time. And not only that, he sent an army with him, with letters, with resources that is needed to go rebuild this wall. Hello. And so he went and rebuilt this wall. Let me close over this. And this is a prophecy for each and every one of you in this night. You came here for a word, this is your word. Isaiah 48, 12, King James. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 12, King James. This is your word for tonight. Go up to 58:12, sorry. Although that's very good. Okay. This is your word. As is Nehemiah went and repaired the breach. Repairing the breach means in the sense of not a breach that you walk over, it's a security breach. Are you guys with me? And I firmly believe that this is a word for each and every one of you in this night. Having caught the revelation of what it means to truly go and serve, it is based upon this very scripture. And I want you guys to read this aloud and without everything that is in your hearts. 1, 2, 3. God said that I will place upon you a new name. May you be known as the repairer of the breach and the restorer of paths to dwell in. There are many great men and women recorded throughout Scripture who have taken it upon themselves, even where they would face death for the sake of their people. Esther, very good example. Jehoshaphat, another good example. These people never fought for themselves. They fought for others, even if it cost them their lives. They would put their lives on the line for someone else. Are you guys with me? This is what Jesus Christ did. He placed his very life on the line so that you can have spiritual freedom. You should do nothing less but living a complete and utter sacrificial lifestyle that is led by his Spirit, with a heart that is for his people. That what you have received, you can go and give, so that God can be glorified. Get yourself out of this thing. Well, how will I look in this now? It's not about you. Everything that you've received is not for you. It is for someone else. And it is to glorify God. Always remember this. Ask yourself the question when you do something, how will this reflect on the kingdom of God? How will my actions and my words reflect on this kingdom? You're an ambassador of Christ, which means that you represent heaven. How do you represent that kingdom at this moment? We're busy with serious things here. Say serving. Are you ready to serve?